Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
I'm Brett Winterbull from Radio America, joined as always by National Review's own Jim Garrity. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I am thirsty, Jim.
Brett, I am as well.
All right, well, let's start. I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood for a good one, and I'm feeling pretty good after the report in the overnight and early this morning that Democrats are pushing for, what is it, $400 billion in new taxes, and the Republicans are saying, no, we don't think so. What do you make of this?
I was, you know, amused by that. This is their line in the sand. I think this is obviously a very good, good territory for the GOP to fight on. I was struck by a comment in the corner this morning from Douglas Holtz Eakin, who was pointing out, wait a minute, Obama has been president for 2.5 years, heading into 3 years. Democrats had the House and Senate for 2 years, nearly a filibuster-proof majority, and they did not raise taxes for the entirety of that time. Even during the lame duck session of 2010, they had 59 votes, they still didn't raise taxes. Now, somehow, they think they're going to get a House majority to sign on to giant tax hikes. You know, that's a politically unfeasible, borderline ridiculous, and supremely implausible. I think this is a perfectly fine line in the sand for the, you know, Republicans to draw. And I was also kind of struck by, I think, a good illustrative example of the thinking on the other side of the aisle on this one. In the print version of today's Washington Post, the Tolles cartoon depicts mean old Mitch McConnell saying, we can't talk about tax hikes. We have a spending problem, not a taxing problem. And then the Obama response, it's not negotiating if you take everything off the table. Now, the mean old, you know, McConnell responds, we don't have a negotiating problem. We have a capitulation problem. But I'm going to note that in Toll's mind, taxes are everything off the table. It's synonym to him. They are synonymous. They are the one and the same. And I think that's rather revealing of how things are to the Democrats, that the only way to get out of the deficit crisis is to raise taxes, even though they did nothing on this when they had complete control of government. And I think Republicans can throw this back in their faces. And I'm ready to see a game of chicken on this one, because I think the Democrats will recognize that bringing about all of the, you know, Armageddon scenarios that they've talked about by not raising the debt limit because we're not willing to raise taxes, that's exactly the legacy they want to head into in the 2012 elections, I suspect.
It is shocking. And the number $400 billion certainly jumps right out at you. For some reason, given this era that we live in, $400 billion doesn't seem as shocking as it once did. $400 billion at one time seemed enormous. Now it just seems like half a stimulus. I don't know.
Post-TARP, post-stimulus, that's the petty cash drawer. Just go in there and take out what you need. Yeah. It's, you
know. Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to certainly continue to monitor that. And I know folks need to be checking out what you're doing at National Review to see how that story kind of unfolds. But you had quite the story coming out in the overnight morning hours. This is not a good martini for the administration by any stretch of the imagination. What is this, Jim? A campaign video? Violation of federal election law? White House as the backdrop? What's going on here, Jim?
Sure. I dominate this as the bad martini because it's bad for us as a country. If we do believe that the presidency, that certain places within our government and certain places of the presidency are supposed to be beyond the realm of campaign politics. There is a video that Barack Obama is effectively holding a contest. Now, it says you don't have to contribute to partake in this on this contest. Nonetheless, you go to his campaign website to sign up for it, and you can win dinner with the President of the United States. Think about it. You know, back in the Clinton years, you had to give a lot of money to buy dinner with the President of the United States. So this is, you know, comparably a bargain. There's a video in which Obama announces that dinner with Barack just got more interesting because they're throwing in Joe Biden as well. Now, I looked at that and said, gee, I figured if you donate more, they would keep Biden away. But nonetheless, this is supposed to be an added bonus of some kind. But what's striking is that, you know, you look at the background of this and like, boy, that sure as heck looks like the White House. And I couldn't be 100% certain of it. I've not spent a great deal of time in the White House, and particularly not in this administration. They're not inviting me over there. But I looked through a couple of former Obama videos, and I found a very similar background in a couple other ones. And Real Clear Politics went out and found other ones. So there's very little dispute. This is in the White House. Now, Obama does not directly say, donate to my campaign, but no doubt that this dinner with the president thing is a fundraising event for his presidential campaign. And there are certain folks who'd say that, you know, I would believe that the White House, it is an official public residence, it is taxpayer-funded property, et cetera. I don't want to see we remember the Clinton years and the coffees and their Hollywood friends jumping up on the Lincoln bed in the Lincoln bedroom, that this is just an area where you're not supposed to have political fundraising. And of course, now a couple of folks pointed out there have been TV ads that have depicted presidents in the Oval Office, but they've never seen a fundraising pitch from within the White House. As if that were not enough,
On the front page of the Washington Post today, there's a comment that they're considering the use of a possible food tasting with the White House chef
for campaign donors. Now, the Hatch Act pretty explicitly says that if you are a government official, you cannot use your official title in campaign events, political events, and fundraising events. I don't see how this, you know, doesn't violate the Hatch Act, but I thought the War Powers Act was a law too, and apparently that one was optional for the president. So I guess I shouldn't get my hopes up. I'm just hoping at some point the White House Counsel's Office will put out a complete list of what laws they've deemed optional for the president.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This, you know, it should be noted, this comes on the heels as well as what the transparency issues they had last week, mm-hmm. as the White House has announced who it was that was in attendance on the March 7th get together in the blue room with the president. Was it an event sponsored by the DNC? Was it a campaign event? This is not a good day to be tied in with the transparency part of the administration.
It isn't. And it's worth noting that if Obama had said, look, I'm going to use the White House for a fundraising tool back on the campaign trail in 07 and 08, we would have no right to complain, but he ran on hope and change. He said, you know, we had to end the same old Washington ways and special access for lobbyists. The argument of the White House, very similar to that, you got to be kidding me attitude that what's going on in Libya isn't really technically a war. That if the president doesn't directly ask for money at a meeting with donors in the White House, then it's not really a fundraiser. Well, come on. You know? I mean, this is, it's one of those arguments where either they're stupid or they believe that all of us are stupid.
Well, we are going to keep watching this like hawks. Now, I don't know. It might be that I'm starting to feel the effects of these two martinis, but I'm getting visions of the return of the wiener trying to play kingmaker for the old seat that he occupied before he tweeted himself out of it. What's going on here, Jim?
Well, apparently he's speaking to the Queen's Party chairman and making recommendations of who the Democrats should pick. They'll have a special election, and under special elections, they often have the party select them instead of having a – because they claim they don't have time for a primary. You know, it's one of those things I'm reminded of that old statement of that piece of advice, don't go away mad, just go away. Why Anthony Weiner thinks he has the moral authority with Democrats to say, dude, oh, this person would be a good congressman, this person wouldn't. I think it suggests that, you know, of all the lies he told, the ones that were most persuasive are the ones he told himself. Now, there's no word on whether the Democrats are listening to him. And I do love the New York Post headline that he is horning in on the successor race. The day we don't hear anything about Anthony Weiner will be a day with less easy jokes, but perhaps a better one for all of us in the long run.
Wow. You know, it's so amazing to watch this because it is shades of high school and the ex-boyfriend trying to tell you why your current boyfriend's no good. And you shouldn't be going out with him because he's a complete loser and you've blown it by leaving him behind. But there's an interesting little factoid inside that that story. And it says the seat, believe it or not, is in a district that is somewhat conservative and could go Republican. What would be the impact of that, Jim Garrity, if that seat should suddenly move from Weiner the tweeter to a Republican?
Yeah, it's one of those things where the Republicans are not getting their hopes up enormously about it. It's one of those things where if you had the right candidate, it's I believe it scores under current district lines D+5. Now, remember that New York is losing a congressional seat. At the end of this campaign cycle, they will have different district lines, and chances are they'll try to make it more Democratic. But certainly not unthinkable that the right Republican candidate could come along and take this district by storm. In a perfect world, that, you know, good Republican candidates say a of scandal. If they run against Anthony Weiner, it would have been an easier chance. You can think of Renee Elmers taking on Bob Etheridge last year, aka the North Carolina Strangler. But sometimes, you know, issues come out of nowhere, and you can, you know, run against an incumbent by saying, doesn't the district deserve better? Conceivably, Republicans would still have that message, but obviously it would run stronger against Weiner himself than some stand-in. Although, obviously, look, if Weiner insists upon playing a kingmaker role, then maybe whoever ends up getting that nomination will have a bit of his taint on him.
Oh, boy. Well, this is something that we're going to have to be monitoring incredibly closely. I have a feeling, and I hate to tell you this, but I have a feeling we've not heard the last of the former congressman for New York 9, the tweeterer himself, Anthony Weiner. Well, listen, this has been a phenomenal three-martini lunch. I'm feeling great. I'm ready to get back to the battles. I certainly love visiting with you, sitting in here for Greg Corumbus. I am Brett Witterbull with Radio America. This has been the Tuesday installation of the Three Martini Lunch with Jim Garrity from National Review. We'll see you on the Wednesday edition.
Looking forward to it, Brett.